Lord, we pray. Heavenly Father, we're glad that you're here in our midst by the Holy Spirit and giving us life to the word of life, that it may all come into the reality of the end time. And we pray now that your peace, the very peace of God, shall control our hearts and our minds and release in us the exuberant joy of the end time season in which we are a part, so that we might be as we ought to be before you, not commended in ourselves, but commended as because your word has taken to manifesting itself in flesh. We desire, Lord, that you have your way in what is right for this hour, not our own preconceived ideas or anything we ourselves might wish because we believe we see certain things in your word, but rather, Lord, let it be unto us according to your word, and that would be exactly right. So we commend ourselves to you this morning in that respect. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're still into the rapture, as Brother Branham brought it to us in December the 4th, 1965, in Yuma, Arizona. And no matter how often we study it, there's always a great deal of information that we seem to have forgotten or did not look at as thoroughly as we ought to have looked at it and to know the subject as well as we ought to know it. And since the rapture, of course, is the word of the hour, I would say we simply cannot study this too much. We just go over and over and over, and there's never an end to it. Now, we're going to do some recapping then and continue with our reading. And the first point we want to bring out is on page 6 in paragraph 30, which I'll read. We find therein that Brother Branham's understanding by divine revelation of the rapture is different, actually, from all previous revelations or all previous teaching on the subject, and no doubt will be different from all future understandings. Now, he says, speaking on this subject, and now some of you may differ from the avenues that I take. And then he tells you here that he is not going to be sensational in his approach. He is not saying something simply for the a little subject to bring to the people, but they need to know what is in that very subject. Secondly, he tells us that this understanding of the doctrine of the rapture will not be accepted, but rather rejected and scoffed at. And other interpretations, of course, may be acceptable in its stead. And he takes us to 2 Peter, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, that's the time the rapture takes place, because that is the last, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that is, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. Now, there's a little bit in there that Brother Branham did not continue to read, but I'm going to continue it. It says, but the heavens and the which are now, the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store. That is, they're literally put aside like in a warehouse. They're kept there, preserved, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Now, what you see here is evidently the reference to Noah's day, because we really don't know what went on that brought about the cataclysm where it says in Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the light of Isaiah saying, he made it not in vain, or made it not void. Something happened there. But we are aware that in the literal recreation, so to speak, or the reforming, that there was something of a cataclysmic nature. And then under Noah. Now, Under Noah especially, it was a period about 120 years when God began dealing with the prophet. So what I feel we're looking at here is that since Brother Branham came on the scene and said the judgments of God are in the earth, and literally brought us the understanding that the rapture was already in existence by reason of the separation through the message, and we've already gone through 18 solid years, and who knows how many more, the people will be in the same state of mind. They'll say, well, where is this judgment? And the minute you question anything of God, you shot your wad. I'm sorry. There's where your faith blew it. And there's going to be a lot of people continually blowing it. They're not going to be able to be a part of it because those, as soon as a question arises, faith goes out the door. Faith does not is not premised or does it presuppose a question. Faith takes what is said, period. And anything else against it is gone. Now, that sounds tough, but I'm sorry. You've got to face it, I've got to face it. And in this period here, which deals with the rapture, which will prove is already in existence, in formation and forming, unto the literal catching up, which rapture means, the people are going to weary of it, and they're going to literally leave it because they don't understand the fact of God that He holds judgment in abeyance until the cup of the Amorites is filled, as it says, the earth full of iniquity and all those things take place. And evidently, it hasn't yet come to that particular place. The World Council of Churches hasn't been formed to the position of taking over. You hear more and more rumblings, but that's all. So there's going to be people that literally reject, and they'll be scoffers. And the third thing we look at is the rejection of Brother Branham's revealed understanding of the rapture, which no doubt the emphatic part is an end-time message to the bride to get her ready, will not be accepted by the people. Now, beginning on page 8 in paragraph 40, what if Moses would have come and brought Noah's message? We'll build an ark and float down the Nile. Now, he's talking about the rapture. So I don't care what he's saying about Noah and about Moses. In both cases, it's a getting out of here before the damage is done. See? Okay, so he's talking about the rapture. We'll build an ark and float down the Nile. Would not have worked. And neither would Jesus' message have ever worked by Moses. And neither will Wesley's message ever work in Luther, or Luther's message, vice versa. And today, our last great reformation was Pentecost. And today, we're moving from that. And the Pentecostal message won't mix with this. What is this? What's going to take place? Rapture. So, he says here, and this is popular as a skunk at a garden party and goes over like several lead balloons. He says to the Pentecostals, you're not going to make it. Oh, now listen, holy horror, don't tell me that. Because we've spoken with tongues, we've seen the sick healed, we've seen the dead raised, we've got a missionary outlook. Look, I've seen lives changed. Well, wonderful. What do you think Muhammad is doing, dragging their feet? See? Now, remember, Jesus in his day said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the skies, how come you can't read the Scripture, the same as you've learned nature, and know the Scripture runs in continuity. Now, there's got to be something here that's running in continuity, and you notice that Brother Branham went exactly to flood conditions. You say, where was the flood conditions in the day of Moses? I'm glad you asked. In the Red Sea. And they drowned. So I'm glad you asked. Now you know. That you're smart, I am too, Rich. I'm just kidding you. All right. Noah flood, the earth a flood. And there's going to be a flood condition at the end time, except it's going to be fire. Now, we're told that. Okay. Now, watch. The Pentecost won't mix with this. because it's another day. Alright? In all the Word of God, it's all the Word of God, but it's building. What's it building? It's building to the rapture, of course. Like the feet, arms coming up, it's forming a bride for the rapture. Now he tells you, you cannot be a part of the bride for the rapture unless you are into a certain understanding, which is called the message, which has a certain season. And we showed you on Sunday morning, last Sunday morning and Wednesday night, the epical season and the stratagem of God. Now, see, now be careful, it doesn't displace those people back there. They live to their message. All of them will come out that was in the bride, just like life going through a stalk of wheat. It leaves the wheat, the hull, the wheat forms itself, like the grain of wheat that fell into the ground. We could read maybe down here 43, talking about falling in the ground. Like just like Jesus had to fall to rise again, so did the church of Pentecost had to fall. It had to go into the ground, the Dark Ages. Now, where was that ever taught except by Brother Branham? There's no book of theology ever taught that. Any wheat, that any grain that goes into the ground has to lay in that dark time to bring forth. But it started sprouting in Martin Luther. Come up to Wesley, come out in Pentecost, now go to the grain, which means resurrection. And now the denominational system that they left behind, their stalks, that's all to be burned, the denominational system. But the real grain of wheat that come up out of each one of those reformations will be caught up in the bride. It'll all together will make up the bride. Remember, there's a living group standing here. See, now they have a message which is different. It isn't that it's a different message in the sense that it's a different word or ever contradicts. It's not that at all. It's the same word that's coming up. Now, the fourth thing, we've already looked at this. This means that God allotted or designated a part of His Word to be fulfilled at no other time but this time of this rapture, and God manifested to be so. Now, scoffers won't take that. They don't like it. So, we take a look at paragraph 46 on page 10, and we read on, starting just with the last sentence in paragraph 46. What's the matter with people? See, it's just this day we're living in, scoffers. The day to fulfill the prophecy. God allotted His Word out to each age. And each one of those ages has to manifest that. Now, that's true. I mean, that's true if it's running according to nature. You plant a seed, a little sprout comes up, and that's the springtime. It starts growing very well into summertime, and it starts forming toward harvest. So there's a manifestation all the way through. And also, for ordained men, for that age, to fulfill that word. They have to manifest at a certain time. Every time He allotted His Word, He allotted a man for it. When He allotted Moses' time, He allotted Moses to it. When He allotted a time for the Son of God to be born, He allotted the Son of God to it. Every age He's allotted His men, foreordained, as the Bible said. Now, if God's infinite, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, why, He knew all things from the beginning. There's nothing out of cater. It's just that we think it is. Everything is running exactly right. Look back in His Word and see what He's doing. Then we'll have an understanding. Now, what He's telling here is that the allotting of the Word to every age, with God giving this job, you might say, of bringing the Word to certain men, is always running continuity through the Bible. What makes people think it still isn't running in continuity? Now, they ought to know that by messengers to every age, and every age has a message. So, therefore, this age will have a message. This age has got a messenger. And it's wind-up time at the time of this messenger, because they're going out into a rapture. Now, we must be real careful and emphatic in our faith. And we can do that by rereading. We don't have to, though, this 47th paragraph, which we find that God ordained men for a certain period, and He ordained the Word for a certain period, and we're in a certain period now where there's a certain man and a certain word to be brought forth. All right. Let's go to 2 Peter here, and we're going to read 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter is saying in the 11th verse, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, you can take your pick on how you want to put the emphasis on this verse of Scripture. You can be legalist and say, hey, we are going to have an abundant entrance. Now, you don't have to be legalist to say that. You can be a grace person too. But the reason I use the word legalist is because right away somebody thinks, well, hey, an abundant entrance, I might not even make it. Well, a lot of folk aren't going to make it. Now, this, if you look at it that way, it's going to throw you. Because the subsequent thought is not dealing with the abundant entrance, it's dealing with the presenting of the entrance into the kingdom itself, not you, and how you make it. As to whether you are one of the most wonderful Christians that ever lived, one of the most fulfilled ever people ever lived, it's going to deal with the subject of the kingdom, how it comes about. Now we're going to see that by reading it. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the truth that is presently before you. Now this man, Peter, is saying, look, I have already gone over this, and you already know the subject very thoroughly concerning my understanding of the coming kingdom and how it comes about. Now watch. Yea, it is me, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I'm here in the flesh, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of what I already told you, what I am well acquainted with, knowing that short now is put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my death to have these things always in remembrance. How? Because he's writing a letter. Now, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw the literal coming of the kingdom.
Amen.
Now that's what he's telling them. Now the previous scripture and much of and 1 Peter deals with you getting there in prime condition, making your calling and election sure, standing up knowing that you have fulfilled the Word of God, what's incumbent upon you, knowing that you are well ready for anything that God in sovereign grace does now, and this is sovereign grace. Tell me one thing that Peter did to get what he's going to talk about now. For we received from God the Father honor and glory, because we were just the candy kid with the gum feet. Oh, me and James and John, hallelujah. We were the ones that the Lord loved the best, because we were the best. Oh, how we loved him and how we suffered and how we believed him. Ah, hogwash. Fact. This is the sovereign grace of Almighty God. It took a bunch of unwashed sheep. Did something for him. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son whom I well please. Now what he's doing here? He's standing back as a spectator. This is what you and I stand back as spectators, though by the grace of God a part of it. See? Watch as a spectator. This is my beloved Son whom I well please. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now, what in the world is he talking about? He's talking about Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 28. There'll be some standing here that'll not taste death to see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And he was, Jesus was transfigured, transformed before them. His face shone as the sun, raiment white as light. There appeared Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter answered and said to the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, we make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses. And then while he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son. The pillar of fire became luminescent to them. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. All right. Now, Peter tells you that the coming of the kingdom, which is in glorified form, it takes the glorification and the resurrection. He said, I was there and I saw it. Now, he saw it in a figure. This was not the literal coming. No way, shape, and form. This was only a prefigure of it. Now, watch. Peter says, we have the word of prophecy made more sure. What word of prophecy? The prophetic utterance concerning this kingdom that we're entering into, that we're coming to. Whereunto you do well heed. Do well that you heed. Now you listen to the prophecy. As unto a light that shines in a dark place, a squalid place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Now it tells you something is going to go on before that takes place. And there's a prophecy concerning it. Now he says concerning the whole thing, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now this says interpretation. It doesn't say the giving of it. The prophecy was already given. This is the interpretation. Now it tells you, friend, when it's time for this, you better not fool with it. Leave it alone. Because there's only one person qualified. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It tells you a prophet brought it. A prophet's got to reveal it. Now, what prophet? After they saw the vision and the thing lifted, Peter said, Hey, I thought Elijah was supposed to come and do something about this. And Jesus said, That's exactly right. He will. Then what prophet is he talking about? Elijah. Now it warns you. Don't have one thought on this subject till Elijah comes or you blow it. And we've had every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I'm not going to take that back. Every Tom and Dick and Harry, spiritually speaking. And I've been one of the Toms and the Dicks and the Harrys, and so have you. You've been Harry and I have been, maybe. Because you might have less right to than look into than I did. And just as wrong could be. I was certainly wrong because I got my head screwed on backwards by a bunch of people showing me infallibly from the Scripture that the saints go through the tribulation. Hogwash, the saints do not go through the tribulation. Now it tells you a prophet has got to be on the scene to settle this once and for all. Okay, it's going to be Elijah. All right, now we go back. We go to page 16. And we go to paragraph 75. And it says, Now the book was written. But remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals was not to be opened, Revelation 10, until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth, Revelation 10, 7, see? The days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God, should be finished in that age, you know, that we're living in. That we're living in. See, and that's the age we're living in. All right? We all know we're living in the Laodicean age. There will never be another age to it. Can't be. Well, how can it be if the rapture takes place? So we're living in the Laodicean age, and these seven seals that held the book is a mystery to the people, should be opened at that day. That's what he promised. Now, he won't do anything outside the word, because you can't add to the word or take from the word. It's got to remain always the word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it. What it is to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture. Then God vindicates that to be the truth. Now, If that's the case, there's got to be a vindicated prophet. To say, look, I've got the right to tell you what this is all about. And when I tell you, that's the time you're going to know. And your ideas are going to be different from mine. And from that time on, it's going to separate people into scoffers and believers. You say, what about those that sit in the fence? Ain't no such creature. Ain't no such creature. So, see, God don't need no interpreter. He's his own interpreter. Well, why not? Who made the holy men of God speak? It says here, knowing this first, no scripture is any prime tradition, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Prophecy didn't come by the will of man. But they were windswept by the Holy Ghost. It means they heard themselves talk. It wasn't something their mind conjured up. They heard them. They heard a voice speaking like Brother Branham face to face, or they heard themselves talk, or they had a vision. Now, he does his own interpretation by bringing to pass the things he said would happen. All right, now he's going to tell you how. What does this mean anyway? He's going to bring it to pass, and when he brings it to pass, the person that's involved here will tell you about it. See? And he'll be backed up by God. Like in the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. That don't need no interpretation. It's vindicated. Now, Peter said, we've got the word of prophecy made sure. And at that time, it's going to be a rough, squalid condition, spiritually speaking. That's Revelation 3:14. Increase in goods and don't lack a thing, and know not your wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind. You're a bunch of, messed up people. You talk about squalid. People in the midst of squalor. But he said at that time, he said, the evening time it shall be light. Now he said, the day is going to rise. The dawn is going to rise. The day star rise in your hearts. Paul said, at the end time, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost begins to run out, he said, the Holy Spirit will begin to give understanding and light to your heart. Okay, that's turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Now this is going to happen. Now, he tells you here, all of these things that Peter is saying, it's going to take God through a prophet to bring them to pass. Now, that's plain and simple. Now, he promised certain things in the last day in the Scripture. Why? There it was. That's how Jesus was the Son of God. God promised to send him. When he was on earth, of course, the people didn't even care to look at that. Now, if you want to make something further on this, Christ the Mystery of God, page 33, has got some on it here, but I didn't bring that little slip with me. Now, we have before us a vindicated message by way of a vindicated messenger. Now, that's exactly what we're looking at, because that's what it says here. It's going to take God to do it. Now, the acceptation or rejection of this message puts you in or out of the rapture according to your choice. Now, let's go back to page 12. 56 to 59. And we find out in this day, when this great scoffing and making fun of the Bible and trying to push it out, God's got to judge the church by something. Now, people say, just a minute, this great day of scoffing. Well, how do you know if they're scoffing or not? How do you know it's right? There's got to be some criterion. There's got to be something to judge by. He can't he takes an illustration. They can't go down this street and arrest me saying I'm making 30 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone unless there's something there to tell me that I'm only allowed to go 25 miles. It has to be there. And God's going to judge the church. He's going to judge the people someday. We know that. There's a judgment coming. That's true, see? So if he's going to judge it by the Catholic Church, what Catholic Church? If he's going to judge it by the Methodist, the Baptist is lost. If he judge it by oneness, the two-ness is lost. So what's he going to judge it by? He said he would judge it by Christ, and Christ is the Word. So it's the Word of God that God will judge. In other words, where you stand with it. In the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he will judge it by his Word. Now we find out that in this day, when they're trying to push the Bible out and accept church doctrine instead, the Bible, they don't want it. They want the church. So they can just make any kind of a creed or anything else, and then they'll walk by it. Why, as I was speaking the other night in Shreveport, in the communion, when they killed the sacrificial lamb, there was no leaven among them through the entire seven ages. No leaven bread. Everything had to be unleavened. That represents seven church ages that we get in the book here. And there's leaven when something's mixed with it. We mix the creeds and the dogmas, denomination, everything else with the word, and still try to call it the word. No leaven shall be the entire 7 days. And even what is eaten today, don't try to keep it for tomorrow. Burn it with fire before the daylight comes, for there's a new message coming forth and a new thing. Now, see, try to hold it over. That's been the attitude of the church. A revival goes forth. The first thing you know, in about 3 years, they start to organize it. The denomination started an organization. But have you noticed? This has been sweeping on for 20 years now, and there's no organization. There never will be. This is the end. The wheat's come back to wheat again. The wheat's come back to its grain. The shuck is pulled away. And the wheat must lay in the presence of the sun to be ripened. Now, that's exactly what it says over here. And Peter says, and that word is S-U-N, or rather it's until the day dawn, which is the sun rising, and the day star rising in your heart. There's going to be, the people have got to stay under that condition until they're thoroughly ripened. Now, he says here, he's going to judge by the word. Okay, now what he's telling you here is a judgment coming, and you judge by the word is from the third chapter of the book of Matthew. And we've gone into that time after time after time. The 12th verse, whose fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his floor, gather the wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now you know that that is just before the millennium. That's at the time of the rapture. That's the fan in his hand, that's the judge. Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, is the same thing. Now let's go to Matthew 26. I beg your pardon, Matthew 24. (clears throat) 36-39. Now, but of the day and the hour knows no man, not the angels of heaven, my Father only. Watch. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day nor in the hour, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming or the presence of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord did come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now notice in here, at the top, so shall it be in the time of the presence of the Son of Man. And then down here in 48, if that evil servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth to have come. Now he's talking, therefore, about two different things. He's talking literally about a presence, which we'll go into later, and an actual physical. Because it says he'll begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. And the Lord of that servant will come. In a day he's not looking, in an hour he's not aware of, and throw him into the great tribulation. Now notice that. Be very careful. See? Because you have to watch what comes after those verses that we just read there, and then we go into 43 on down. There is a difference. That's why I said that is the separation, and that is the judge who is judging by the word, and the people are being separated as to who are going to make the rapture and who are not going to. All right. We notice that 44 to 51 takes place after verses 40 to 33. See? Now, the first verses. At a time, there will be the presence of the Son of Man. At that time, there's going to be separation. Then it says, after that time, there are going to be people who say, well, hey, my Lord delays his coming. All things continue. Second Peter lines perfectly with Matthew. See? Where is it? Where's the judgment? See? They get carried away. Then it says, suddenly, the catching up takes place, and these are left in the great tribulation. But remember, if the good man knows the hour of the thief, he's prepared. If the good man knows what is really going on, he doesn't foolishly say about the rapture message, oh, everything is going on. Like, always looking back, always looking forward. He knows what is going on. He knows what he's into. You see? And this is the great criticism of this understanding of the rapture, and the great criticism that I get because I say I do know what is going on. Now, if I don't know what's going on, I better shut up and sit down. And I would say that to every preacher, every teacher, every man that considers he's got a ministry. If you don't know what's going on, you better shut up and sit down. You better be prepared to stick your neck out. You bet. Now, a lot of people don't like preaching. They say, well, stick your neck out. What do you mean stick your neck out? Well, didn't the disciples? He said, well, are you going to go with the crowd? Well, they said, we got a persuasion. We're going to stick with you on the grounds that we believe you. Now, the others believed him, too. They knew something was there. But they stopped. But you see, they left. Now, we refuse to leave the presence of God because we know where it's going. So therefore, you see, in these verses here, after the revelation of the Son of Man, the separation takes place, which is the binding of the tares and the binding of the wheat. The separation of the people. Now, we want to listen real good and get the next point. The bride is waiting, Brother Branham says, for the true revelation of the rapture, which rapture, of course, is not a doctrine of letter only, but a reality of this hour. And we must understand this. That revelation is also the revelation of the Logos. He tells the people, look, the bride is waiting for the revelation of the rapture. And at the same time, she is waiting for the revelation of the Logos. Now let's go to page 14, 65 and 66, I'll read it to you. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her. The true bride of Christ will be waiting for the revelation of that rapture, and it's already been revealed that she's got to have it. Well, and any bride knows. In fact, almost anybody knows that people say one thing, then say another. What is right? Okay? Next verse. Now it, the rapture, is a revelation. For the revelation is faith. You cannot have a revelation without it being faith. Faith is a revelation because it's something that's revealed to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is something that's been revealed to you like it was to Abraham. That could call anything contrary to what had been revealed to him as though it wasn't so. In other words, everything we ever learned about the rapture that's contrary to what he taught isn't so. Now, no matter what it is, the waiting period, everything. Now, faith. That's what faith is the revelation of God. The church is built upon a revelation, the entire body. Now, going on, as well, we'll just keep reading here. I don't want to read all because there's too much there to read. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. He said, flesh and blood never revealed this to you. My Father which is in heaven revealed to you, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The revelation of the word in its season. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, we'll go to 76 here. We know we're living in the Laodicean age. Not be another age. There can't be. We're living in it. This is where the seven seals be open to us. It won't be anything outside the Word, because you can't add to the Word or take from it. It always remains the Word. but the revelation is to reveal the truth of it, what it is, to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture. Then God vindicates that to be the truth. Now, right here, when he said to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture, and he's talking about a revelation, is where people will go haywire. They don't realize that Peter said, look, it's going to take a vindicated prophet to bring the understanding of this hour and get the light, or it's going to do you some good. Now, they're not going to take that. I don't care. I simply don't care, because, look, I have been to a backwoods seminary, and I believe this fellow was as smart as anybody. In fact, he certainly was. I stayed 6 weeks, and I went out before they kicked me out. I got out just in the nick of time. I didn't know anybody was there to catch me on the first bounce. So I got out. But I'm going to tell you what. They read that entirely different from what the Scripture said. They refused to bring you to the place where a prophet would, by the same inspiration, in the same way, tell you what the Scripture meant when the other fellow said it. Now, they always took the part. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost when they gave it. Now, they stuck with that. And you will not get the Bible students to change. But you tell them, a prophet is going to come on the scene and interpret what another prophet said, they'll spit right in your face. And they'll cut your throat. And jump up and down the midst of your spiritual bowels shouting glory. You bet your life they will. Because they are not going to take what Peter said. It's right under their noses. I read it to you several times. You know what it says. Absolutely, he was not referring to the giving of it. He was referring to the interpreting of it. And he said this one and the same. Men don't know from their minds. It's going to take God. And we know the prophet had to be Elijah. So people can say what they want. And they're going to say, well, hey, I don't need Elijah. Well, fine. You don't need God. You don't need God. They're not going to get him anyway. There's no way they're going to get him. All right. Now, make it fit with the rest. Make what fit? Just the rapture doctrine fit? No. The way the revelation is given. The way the revelation is given. It's right there. Now, and then, of course, it will fit because other Scripture begins to blend. Now, he promised certain things in this last day in the Scripture. Why, there it was. That's how Jesus, the Son of God, he promised to send him. When he was in the days here on earth, the people couldn't believe him. He said, search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are there to testify me. If I don't do the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify who I am. Now, he's telling you right there something about the fact there's got to be a repeat ministry. Brings it right out. What it was back there, it's going to be now. Well, then in Wesley's age, the work that he did testified who he was. In Luther's age, on the Reformation, why, sure, testified who he was. That's Luther. In the days of Pentecost, restoring, give back, restoration, gift, speaking in tongues, cast out devils, and the gift, why, testified, there was no joke about it. People said when it raised up, I read the books on the history of Pentecost, Brother Brandon objects. They said it can't last long, it'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? Because you'll never put it out. God said it would be there. It's that portion of the word, and no more could you put that out. Now watch. But then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. Now notice, it's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. Now the word is made true by manifesting, and you get the revelation of it. Now why does he put himself in there? See, how can it be a revelation, the rapture, of the mystery of himself? I thought the rapture mystery was us being changed. Don't you understand the Lord himself descends from heaven? So there's got to be something about him in there. See? Now this is where the people are missing this. The people say, we believe Brother Branham. I don't say they don't believe him. But they don't know what he's saying. Now look, I read it. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery himself. Look, the rapture per se is not himself. Himself is himself. You're dealing with a different thing. Now, he tells you then, when you deal with rapture, you're dealing with the person. Then why don't they listen what he says about the person? Now, he says, in there's a revelation of him. Now, the rapture is only, this rapture we're talking about is only for the bride. Now, that's true. It's only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said the rest of the dead live not again for 1,000 years. It'll only be for the elected lady, the bride that is pulled out. All right? I'm going to go to page 24. So I jump back and forth here. And before I do, I'm going to read that last sentence again, where it says, and when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word of God made true, and we're living in that day. That's the day of the rapture, the day of the Word being manifested and revealed to us. Praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of Himself tells you right there, this is the hour of He's being revealed. That takes you back to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Now, with that, paragraph 117, now, it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end. Now, if you take Luke, the 17th chapter, 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And when the Son of Man shall begin to reveal himself, that's 1730, see. What is revealed? Make his revelation of what he is in this day revealed out to the people, the word that's made known for the day, revealed to the people by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, making that Jesus live amongst us. Now, he tells you right there. He tells you there is going to be literally a manifestation of the presence of the Son of Man. There's got to be. Now, and remember, when he was represented there in a man, he said, as it was in the days of Noah, see, back there in the days of Sodom. Now, he read the same Bible we read. Now, go down here. Now, the Bible predicts that it will return in the last day. What will return? He was represented there in a man. See? Jesus said so. And when you see these things begin to come to pass, just remember, when this starts to taking place, you know its time is nigh at the door. What's nigh at the door? The rapture. When you see what? When you see the Elijah the prophet. When you see the vindicated proof. When absolutely you know that the pillar of fire is there, though you can't see it. That's what Peter said. Though having not seen, he's precious, and though now you see him not in this season. You can't see him, but he's here. See, you only see him in a glorified form. You can't see him in the form of a spirit. See, a lot of ramifications. It takes the whole Bible to cover it. People don't like that, but there's nothing you can do about it. Now, look at the world itself. Look at the world, Sodom, if there ever was a Sodom. That's the world today, he said. Look at the people, burdened, such a perverting, mind perverting. Don't know common decency. Outlaws, homosexuals, everything else. Women on a rampage. Indecent. You say that's Methodist, that's Pentecostal too, the whole thing. Look at her men. They hang. Instead of the Word of God, they hang on some little tradition of a denomination instead of coming out when they see God make himself known perfectly. Now, he tells us at the time of the rapture, you don't only get an understanding of what it is all about, but you get an understanding of the person who's bringing it about. Amen. And it's a revelation spectacular for this hour. Amen. And he tells you it's going to be different from the rest. And he said, men are going to stumble at it and scoff at it. Then there's going to be a bunch that say, well, so what? They get carried away with the fact that the thing is being delayed. Where's the judgment? Didn't he say judgment's in the earth? Then where's the judgment? Why doesn't the hammer fall? See? Why isn't the trap sprung? He said, look, and can't you understand that every single time something like this takes place, it's down the road the judgment hits. Now what he's doing is holding back the judgment
but he's not holding back the processes of the rapture. They've got it backwards. They're looking for judgment instead of the processes of the rapture. And you get just what you get your eyes on. Why do you think the Holy Spirit told me to get my eyes off of everything but what's for the bride? Because that's where your faith goes. Let's hit it. If Abraham would have looked at his own body and the body of his wife, he'd have said, look, for Pete's sake, what kind of a revelation did that thing called a pillar of fire give me anyway? Merciful heaven, if there is a heaven. I'm 100 years old and she's 90. There's no way, no way that we're going to have a baby. Why, he said, everything, why, he said, my body's contrary to the Word of God. Her body's contrary to the Word of God. Hallelujah for the Word of God. Turned his back on her. What did he do? He got the son. That's what's wrong today. There is no way there's going to be a rapture to anybody unless you begin to understand this and put yourself in the position. Now, bride will. But remember, there's such a thing as getting slothful. Just because you're bride doesn't mean that, you know, hey, we got this thumbs down without you even, you know, raising an eye. You know, some people need to put toothpicks in their eyelids to keep their eyes open for this last hour. Now, we read this through here. Where am I off at here now? Page around 116. Okay, down to 100. Okay. Now, I want to get all this right. We read the fact of, oh, here we go. Let's read this. Now the light that come up through Luther, let's see, 100, well, here we read down, but it's just better stick down here. Oh yeah, let's just read this last little bit of 121st chapter, paragraph again. When they see God himself, when they see God make himself known perfectly, which is perfection at the end time, that which is perfect has come. Now I want to go back and take that last sentence again. On paragraph 80, we read it there, and the time is when the bride is being called out. How are you going to put it out? In other words, how are you going to stop this message? There's no way you're going to stop it. It's going to go plumb onto it to finish its course. It's the manifestation, it's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. Now, he's telling you that what is happening in this hour is fully documented, is fully proven by the Word of God. And we understand what is going on. We're living in the last day of God himself actually revealing himself. And that is what I said is 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from him with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Now, let's look here. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven, and I'll build my church. The revelation of God, of the Word in the season. I'll build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Now, Brother Branham said the gates of hell are against the revelation of his presence. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible that's sealed to unbelievers. In there, the Bible says in the 22nd chapter, whoever shall take one word or add to it, I'll take his part out of the book of life. Now, remember, we go back to Peter. He said, look, I only saw a preview. I saw, but I cannot tell you exactly what is going to take place except this one thing. You better be watching for Elijah the prophet. Now that's what he told him. He said, look, the word of the prophecy being made sure, the word that I'm telling you is this. There is no way this prophecy of the kingdom will ever come outside of Elijah coming and telling you. Now he said, when he comes, that'll be a prophet. But he said, you watch what follows a prophet, a bunch of phony teachers. Now, what are those teachers going to be to be phony? Scoffers. They'll no more understand what Peter talked about than nothing. They'll say, oh, William Branham, he was Elijah. He was? Well, clue me in on how that has to do with the kingdom. Tell me about it. Let him tell you. Can't do it. Now look, we're not going to be insensitive to people's needs. Now, neither are we going to get puffed up to think we know something. But let's get this flat. Jesus had a whole bunch of people following him as well as the 12. Then one day he picked 70 out of the crowd. Then one day he lost the crowd and he lost the 70. And he's back to 12. Now there's going to be very few that understand and are a part of the revelation of this hour. And remember, it has to do with faith, so it can be by grace. So therefore, every child of God that is truly born again of this hour is going to be in the rapture and will be a partaker of this revelation. Or why did God send the prophet? Now you're going to get the guy out there that said, now listen, Brother Bill, we do believe in sovereignty and we do believe in predestination. But you see what it is? There's only one or two predestinated and then the rest listen to them. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash I ever heard. But that's what they're going to tell you. The whole bunch are predestinated, or nobody's predestinated.
Amen.
Or how did you get a body here? Through the sperm and the egg, which contain the chromosomes and the genes, see? It wouldn't work. There's no way. Okay. Now, the book was written, then remember, a seal with seven seals. The seven seals not be opened to Revelation 10, the sounding of the last messenger. And the mysteries of God are going to be finished. That's the age we're living in. That's why, and Peter said, now listen, it's a mystery. And he said, you will know it when the prophet Elijah comes. Now let's not forget that. Now, this rapture of William Branham's revelation is only for the bride. Now we read that over here, and it says here, the rapture is only for the bride. That's all. The rest of the dead don't live for 1,000 years. Now then, let's come to a point. Then, if the rapture revelation is for the bride, and the rest of the dead don't live 1,000 years, he must be telling us categorically that this message is for the living. Why, sure he is. That said, the rest are dead. The ones that went down in Pentecost, they're waiting their time. Under Luther, their time. Wesley, Dark Ages, so on and so on. They're waiting their time. But this group here has to have a revelation. They have to have something. And so right away the people say, no, I cannot buy that. Now, who are the elect? The elect, he says, the word church means called out. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination make up a bride. And that's the one that is the bride. She is the one that's going to be in the rapture, that alone. Nothing but the bride. Elected ones foreknown by God from the beginning, the Father's spiritual gene. Now let's stop here a minute. Now notice, each of you people, you know for years before you were born, you were in your father as a gene. That's right. A germ of seed was in your father from the male sex, not the female. Female furnishes egg, the bedding ground, the germ comes from the father. Now say, in my father or my son sitting here. When I was 16 years old, my son was in me. Now the question was he or was he not? I see a lot of people don't believe that. They believe everything is spiritual. Now, he said his son was in him. Now, did he lie or did he not? Was he just illustrating? Now, if he's up there just standing for something to say. Now, he said he wasn't going to stand there for just something to say. Now, let me go back and just prove it here. He talks about the rapture, and he said, and I think that in speaking about the rapture, I just don't try to get up in here to say something that I think would please the people. I've never been guilty of that. Would he get up there and say something to confuse them? Would he say something to be a liar? Would he say something just to say, well, Brother Branham really knows something. Isn't he a hot shot? Well, he wasn't a Hoosier. Let's face it, he's a Kentucky. So let him be a Hoosier hot shot. Although he lived in Indiana. So he's not that at all. What's he saying? He's saying his son was in him. Now, you can fight all you want with the geneticists and biologists and God knows what. I got no fight. Because they understand spiritual things. The same as he did, because I think I got my clue from him. Now, he said my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there. He said he was there. Now, listen. Now, through a bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he became in the image of me. Now, did he or did he not? All right. I know him. I can fellowship with him. And he came just at the time when it's the right time. Now, where was Billy Paul before he's in his father and his grandfather? Right. And before that, great, 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 God knows how many, till he got right back to Adam. And I believe he's son of Adam, so that's okay. Now, so were you. If you've got eternal life, you were in God before there ever was a world. You are a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. He knew the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age to take that place. Now listen. Now, so were you. If you got eternal life, you were back there. You see, he's talking about two things now. The spiritual coming to the natural. Then the natural carrying the spiritual, going back to the completely spiritual. Now, he predestinated you to that age to take that place. Now, what is predestinated to the age? The manifestation of a thing. Now he's talking about you being manifested. He was talking about the Word being manifested. He was talking about Elijah being manifested. He was talking about Jesus being manifested. So therefore, the whole thing is a manifestation in this hour. Something is going on now. That's real. That's been brought into the realm of the physical. See? Predestined to take their place, and no one else can take it. I don't care how many impersonations and things. You've got to be there because he knew you'd be there. Now, who are you? In your father's loins. How'd you get here? It's your holy matrimony bedding ground. Where are you to begin with? Back in God somehow. What did God do? Breathing out in the breath of life and became a living soul. Became propagators. And Brother Branham said a human birth for God to get what he wanted is a whole lot more complex than a virgin birth. And a virgin birth, he let it be, and there it was. With a human birth, he had to take down of the trillions and multiplied. God knows how many trillions of sperm and eggs in this world. With their trillions and so complex number of combinations. The computer mind of God. Why, that's knowing, that is more complex to find out a human birth than it is to know how many fleas there are and how many times they'll bat their eyeballs. Because you can figure that on average. You try to figure the spermatic count and the egg count. And then the genes and chromosomes, what's about 12 and 23 in the combinations. To get one identical, to get a baby identical, which you never can, would take one followed by 9,031 zeros. Figure that one out. And you can't even then. There's no such thing as an absolute twin. Or the absolute 100%. There's no way. There's some little thing different. See? Now, he knew you'd be there. Now you are made manifest. Now you can fellowship with him. That's what he wants. And the fellowship at this end is different from the fellowship any other time. See? It's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. It's a continuation, but it's come up here. But if your life was not always an attribute of God, you're just a mimic to Christianity. And there'll be billions of them. Already tells you that. Now, they are the elect. And things to be. He said, if you love the things of the world, the love of God's not in you. If you still love the world and act like the world and do like the world, you're just trying. You're just trying. You're in the church, but a cocklebur and a patch of wheat. Shut with the rest, rejoice the rest, all the spiritual blessings right upon you. You say, well, I prophesied, so did Caiaphas, so did Balaam. That's nothing. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's still nothing to do with it. That's just only a temporal gift for you. The real gift is your soul down in there that was born of God and that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God. And there you grew up, see? Then you are a son and a daughter of God. You're a child of God. In other words, you always were or you weren't.
Right. Amen.
And so now you're being manifested. See? And these things that you come up, like the mother now, you're in the bowels of the earth trying to come forth. You're a son of God coming forth, and you see the Word said, I shall do this, I should do this, I should be born again. Well, I belong to the church. The seed says, got to be born again. Church member says, hey, I just joined the church. One doesn't see what the other sees. But you know there's mimics to rebirth. How many people today are all screaming rebirth? What's this guy's name? Dylan? Didn't he scream rebirth? The Jew boy? Dylan, what's his name? Bob Robert Dylan? What's his first name? Dylan, anyway, you know, he He screamed rebirth, and now he's changed his mind. Sort of back to be a combination Gentile-Jew. Ain't no such horse. See, it'll never breed itself back. There's no way. A hybrid's a hybrid. Look at some of the men right here in this area here. They represent us in government. Man claims he's truly born again, and then votes for certain things in the legislature, in our government, that no born-again person could ever vote for. Well, come on, where's his rebirth? Uh-uh. No, it ain't the same thing. Now, you know, there's a lot of men and women that are husband and wife. Huh. Well, they'll be categorized under a broad title. There's a broad title called human being. It's mostly serpent seed, too. Yeah, might as well get that. Now, number seven. The bride that is the word, knows and makes her election sure, not only by a light, but a light that agrees with the word. Okay? Let's go to paragraph 92. Now you remember that you were an attribute. And then the thing of it is that after we find these things that Christ is coming for his bride, now how do we get in the bride? Now that's the question. Join a congregation, certain type of baptism, one wants this or that, one speaks your tongues this or that, one says you got to dance, one says you got to shout, one says sensation. It's all right, but it's all wrong. How could a man that's or a woman or child of God that's born of the Spirit of God deny the word of God when God himself interpreted it and said, this is it, I promised it, here it is. Now you see, look, you see, now you got to have something to point at. There's got to be something manifested. Now you see, you can discern the signs of the times, the face of the sky. What is there in the Bible that categorically proved that picture and what we're talking about? Now there's two pictures. One taken right here on earth, and one as a camera pointing right up to the heavens, 26 miles high. So if people say, I don't believe that, well, that's fine by me. You don't have to believe it. I got no reason for anybody to believe it. Well, you could put a dog collar on a pig and say, well, hey, how much give me this hog? We say, ain't no hog. We sure it's got a dog collar on, hasn't it? You can't. You know, let's face it. How could a man or woman, child that's born of God deny the word of God when God himself interpreted it? This is it. I promise it. Here it is. Showing it just as plain as can be. Why, they're bound to see it. See? How could Christ deny his own word? If Christ's in you, he can't deny his word. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the rapture. He's talking about Elijah coming. He's talking about the process that's set forth. He's talking about the Son of Man right here being revealed. He talks about the pillar of fire. He lays the whole thing out. Now, he said, look, it's been proven, it's been manifest, it's vindicated. He said, well, I don't want that vindication. Well, fine. Jesus said, now, tell me where I missed the boat. Well, they said, do it our way. He said, I can't do it your way. I got to go the Word's way. Then who missed the boat? See? Okay. Now, page 26. Paragraph 124. Now, we're living in the seventh church age, and when the Bible said this was the seventh church age, when the messenger of the seventh church age began to sound his message, the mysteries of all the things that's been twisted up down through the ages would be revealed in that time, and here it is, and here we see it. The Son of Man coming among his people and doing just exactly, confirming his message as he said he would do here in the last days. Now he tells you right here. Now this is the rapture tape. This is the rapture season. This is what's going on. See? And then people say, well, he's here, so what? What did the revelation of the Son of Man mean anyway? Oh, great ministry. Oh, no, it didn't. The ministry was only God gaining favor with the people in order to reveal himself.
Amen.
See? That's the least of it. How people take and run with the wrong word, see? Now, all right, we can start. We got time. We're going to go and start reading on page 27, paragraph 128. The word rapture in the Bible is not even used at all. In other words, the word rapture is not in the Bible. We just put that word there. The Bible said caught up, being caught up. Reading 1 Thessalonians, it is, of this great rapture. I would not have you in your brethren concerning them that are asleep. You sorrow not, either as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now he tells you that takes care of the dead. He's going to bring them out. For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not take any preeminence of any description over those that are asleep. Now listen, the sign of the end time is heady and high-minded. And when you run across a person in this message who thinks he knows something and thinks he is somebody, and you can feel that spirit, you know you ain't got it. You haven't done it. Because it tells you there's no preeminence. You're no better than if you were dead in the ground and didn't know one thing about what's going on. Because you wouldn't. Now it says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I want you to notice a great thing takes place here now. Don't miss it, see? Notice, the word says in 1 Thessalonians three things. 13 to 16 verse, there's three things that have to happen before the Lord himself appears. All right, now you watch that. The Lord himself appears. Okay? Paragraph 130. Three things happen. A shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. All right? But notice then. This is for that before appears. Now, he says, three things happened. A voice, shout, trumpet. Now, a shout. Jesus does all three when he's descending. A shout. What is a shout? Is a message going forth first. The living bread of life being brought forth before a bride. Now, he tells us that every one of these things has to take place before he appears. Yet he says he does all three in descending. See? He does all three in descending. So, in doing all three things, he is invisible because they are done before he appears, which means that he is visible. Now, he tells you that. Jesus does all three. He does all three when he's descending. Follow me? Now, what I'm trying to show you is this. He said all of these three happen before he appears. Now, he said this is done in descending. Shout, voice, trumpet. So, therefore, when he's talking about appearing, to do this before he appears has to be before he appears visibly. So all of these things are done, and he is invisible in this descent because it is done before he is visible. Now that's plain English. I don't care what anybody says. Because appear means to come into sight. So therefore, before Jesus is actually seen by us, there are three things that he has to do in an invisible manner. Invisible to us. There'll be a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. All right. He is invisible, and he shouts. So, what is the shout of the invisible Jesus? He says, a shout. What is a shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing the bride. Okay? We understand that then. All right. Let's go back to page 8. Okay? 39 and 40. But you see what does that. The message that went forth then, the Englishmen try to hold that same message for today. That won't work today. It won't work. Now, what was that, Wesley? What if Moses would have come down and brought Noah's message? We'll build an ark and float down the Nile. It wouldn't have worked. Neither would Jesus' message have ever worked by Moses. Neither will Wesley's message work in Luther, or Luther vice versa. And today, our last great Reformation was Pentecost. And today we're moving from that, and the Pentecostal message won't mix with this. What this? I didn't see Jesus. I never heard him. What did he bring you? All I want to know. Because it's another day. It's all the Word of God, but it's building. Like the feet, arms coming up, it's the forming of a bride for the rapture. Now, hold it. This message got to do with the rapture. Now, what did Brother Brown say he's doing? He said, you're going to differ from the avenues that I take when I preach this. This is part of the message. Well, I don't see Jesus. I see William Branham. Now he said he does all three in descending. And Peter said the kingdom to come is prefaced by a prophet. In other words, the literal glorification and we entering into that millennium is preceded by a prophet. But remember, when Moses and Elijah stood there at that time, Jesus was only in a figure of glorification. She'd have to be in a figure again. What figure? Pillar firm. I see. See, it doesn't displace the people back there. They live to their message. All of them will come out that was in the bride, so we're going to live to our message, okay? So this message that Brother Branham talks, that is brought by Jesus himself in the invisible form, is to the living and not to the dead. Now, let's go to page 27 and 130 again. And we just read, three things happen, shout, voice, trumpet. He does all three in descending. A shout, what's a shout? It's a message going forth first. The bread, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. Now, what's she going to bring forth from? She's going to bring forth from the denominations. Okay, the question is, if the invisible Jesus is doing this, then it has to be done by spirit. And how do we get a spirit to deal with us as individuals? Okay, let's read Brother Branham's answer to that. The living bread being brought forth, Jesus doing all three descending. Now, God has a way of doing things. He never changes his policy. Talking about the show, right? He never changes. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3 and 7, he said he would do nothing on the earth. Now the message is on the earth. He's descended. Until he first revealed it to his prophet, servants the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. Now that's what Brother Branham said. That is exactly what Peter said. Now, next, what prophet? Let's read on. Now we've come through the church ages, but we're promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that there would be a return again, a prophet. What prophet? Elijah. In the land. That's right. Notice his nature and what he'd be like. God uses that spirit five times. Once in Elijah, once in Elisha, John the Baptist, call out the church. That's he talking about himself. And the remnant of Jews. Five times grace. Jesus, faith. Five. G-E-S-S-F-A-I-T-H. It's a number of grace. Now, and remember, the message is promised. And when all these mysteries have been all, which has been also bundled up by the bunch of ecclesiastics, it'll take a direct prophet of God to reveal it. Well, that's what Peter said. Now, what's William Branham doing but saying what Peter said? What's he doing but telling exactly the coming into the kingdom? What's he doing exactly but telling us about the rapture? Okay, now remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not the theologian, the prophet. He's a reflector of God's word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals. Now, that's exactly what Peter said. Now, you try to get that to the people, they aren't going to believe that. There's no way they're going to believe it because they can't believe it. They've been taught, you've got the Holy Ghost, and this guy's got the Holy Ghost. Ain't no such thing as a prophet coming. Forget it. We've got God. And deny the word of God. William Branham only said what Peter said. Now, William Branham said, once you see this message, that's all you see in the Bible. That's all I see in the Bible. He can't say nothing, but he can't say his own thoughts. Only speak what God reveals. Even to the prophet Balaam when he tried to sell his rights out. How can a prophet see anything but what God puts in his mouth? That's what Balaam said. A man with a true gift and phony as a $3 bill. The typical Pentecostal. See? It's a thing that God does that you can't say nothing else. And you're born that way. No more than you could if you could say, I can't open my eyes when you're looking. See, you can. You can't reach your hand when you can. That is, reach it out. See? You can't be a dog when you're human. You're just made thus. And God, in every age, you got a Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, all ages gone by. And when the ecclesiastical group gets everything mixed up, he would send a prophet raised up from nowhere. He belonged to none of their institutions. Speak his word, be called off the scene, and gone. Just a rugged man of the truth of God. And it's always the way you could tell. He said, if there be one of one, you spiritual prophet. Now, a prophet, there's such a thing as a gift of prophecy in the church. But a prophet predestinated and foreordained for the hour, yes, sir. Now, if a prophecy goes forth, two or three have to sit and judge whether it's right or not before the church can receive it. But nobody sat before a prophet because he was absolutely the word of God. He was the word of that age. He saw God reflect. Now, ever so carefully, we're going to read paragraph 138 continuing. Now, if God promised to send that again in the last days to bring the bride out of the ecclesiastical mess, and the only way it can be done, or it'll never be done, the church can't receive Christ. Now, let's understand what he said. He said, this is the only way that God has that he can do it. And if God doesn't do it, there is no way the church can receive Christ. Now, notice, he said the church can't receive Christ. That's the descending one. To receive him is not him receiving us. That's John 14. I receive you unto myself. Now, this is different. Now, if there's no prophet, there's no way that Christ can be received. That's right there. Because you can't see the pillar of fire, you don't really say anything else. Now, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives the one that sent me. Now, they're all one. Prophet, bride, word, Jesus, that's it, the corporate body, and pillar of fire. Come absolutely one, unity. Proving your election. Showing just exactly where you're at. Now, let's keep reading. The Pentecostals, we can't carry the message on the condition the church is in today. How are we going to carry out the end time and condition you're in today when everyone is against each other and it's ecclesiastically? Oh, mercy, it's a mess. It's done, gone to denominations, and any time I ask a historian, say different, every time that a message went forth in the earth, the organized, it died right there. Pentecost did the same thing. You assemblies of God, when your forefathers' mothers came out of organizations back there in the general council, shouted praise God and talked against those things, then you turned like a dog to his vomit and a hog to his wall and did the same thing they did. And now, so Ecclesiastes, shut up your bowels of compassion, and you can't have fellowship without a card. You can't even associate hardly. And you oneness, God gave you a message like that. Instead of you going ahead just keeping humble, and you go ahead, you had to turn loose and organize your group. And you notice that's one thing they try to do with this too. Men rise up to be leaders. Where are you at? The same bucket, that's exactly. And God's Spirit moving on. In other words, you done. He done left you. I, the Lord, will plant. I'll water it day and night, lest some should pluck it out of my hand. All right. Receiving Him and Him receiving us through the nation. Now, this is rapture revelation or reality. What is going on now is what He's saying right here. Okay? The seal, page 238. Now, there is where I believe. Now, I didn't say He would come secretly, but the rapture will be a secret. So if it was so secret when He was come, how much more will the rapture be unknown? Well, I thought the rapture is in three parts. Could something be going on right now that you're not aware of? How do you know it's what your cells are building around? What did you eat this morning? Your cells are building around. Can you tell they're going on? How many of you know you got a pair of kidneys? Nobody. You don't know you got a pair of kidneys because you don't feel them. Nobody's got kidney stones this morning, I don't suppose. Anybody got gallstones? You don't know you got a gallbladder, do you? Because you can't feel them. Actually, you don't even feel your ears. How do you know you got ears? Well, you say, I'm beginning to feel them because I'm putting my feelings out there. Oh, that's okay. See, you can't. See, you... So you got to be careful. See, well, I thought we were supposed to have a rapture and all this judgment upon the earth. Now, too late, they're going to catch on. Now, here's the thing. The bride has caught on. See, now there's nobody going to tell me that what William Branham preached is not going on now, or what's the use? If it doesn't have an effect, what good would it be? Now, reality, what is going on now? Now, let's go to paragraph 141. He ordained these things to be, and He must send this. The first thing come when He starts descending from the heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth first. Now, lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. But what watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth, the seventh. Behold the bridegroom. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have oil in their lamps, see? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time. It's Luke 17 time. All those prophecies perfectly set in order. Now, that sounds pretty good. Let me see now. Let's go back. I mean, might as well see now. I want to take Matthew 25. I might as well take Matthew 25 at this time. It says, then shall the king have me like unto 10 virgins, took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish took their lamps, took no oil. The wise took oil, their vessels with their lamps, the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight a cry was made, behold the bridegroom. Not cometh, behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Now, it says, behold him. It's time to look at him. It's time to meet. The virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said, give your oil, our lamp's gone out. The wise said, no, we might not have enough, you try to go and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now notice, beholding, then coming, see, they already went into the marriage. That's the rapture is over now. And the door is shut. The judgment begins to fall. And the rest say, hey, where's that rapture? Now you see, they're lulled by the fact that nothing too much is going on. See, nothing's going on. Well, can you feed your kidneys this morning? No way, see. You can't feed your heart. You feed your mind. Now I ask you a question. You feed your soul or your spirit? Now there's two intrinsic, aesthetic things you can't get a hold of. Actually, there's not enough air moving in this building. I don't suppose any one place to even feel the air. People get entirely fooled because you still go with feelings. You don't go by feelings anymore. You go by what is right. The Word of God is not based upon a feeling. The Word of God is based upon God, and God is not a feeling. God is Spirit. That makes it very concrete. All right? Now, the oil. Now we'll read the seals now. And some more. Might not have this down right here. Might not got this one right here. I think I do have it, but yeah. Now, how did I know the other day, last Sunday, week ago, when I was preaching to humble, remember God deals little things, I didn't realize what I was really talking about. Now I see it. It's such a humble way. You would think that something like that be revealed in the Vatican, but it comes just like John the Baptist. It comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God, so help me, the hours at hand were here. Now he said, the hours at hand were here. In other words, this explicit hour, when things will, when there's actual catching away, that is at hand, and we're here to everything that precedes it right down the line. Now, he's talking about, well, I'm not going to read all that. He just brings out things on the seventh seal. I'm going to just leave that. It takes too much time to read it because we've got too many more places to go there. And he took us to Matthew 25, and I read it to you. He took us to Luke chapter 17, which is the revelation of the Son of Man, where he is revealed. Let's go to Luke 17 then. I don't want to bypass that because it's all part of the rapture. He demanded to the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered then and said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. Now look at it. It says there's nothing that you're going to see. But what is it you're going to see concerning it? The prefacing of it. What is really going on is a prophet. Right. And the prophet is what you're going to see and understand the thing that's going on. And he said, it doesn't come that you'll see it. They'll say, here, there. Don't believe it. It's within you. It's amongst you. Then he goes on to say that the days of the Son of Man are going to repeat at a time when it's like unto Noah, and it's like unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Son of Man will be revealed. Now, when the Son of Man is revealed, you'll notice what happens. Him that's on the housetop don't come down. Him in the field don't return. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever seek to save his life will lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. That's committed to God. I tell you, in that night two will be in bed, one taken, one left. Two grinding, one taken, one left. Two in the field, one taken, one left. And notice he doesn't fill in what was filled in Matthew. There's not a thing said about anybody staying there and getting caught. This is the rapture. They said, where? And he said, where the carcass is, the body, the soma, the saint, where Christ is, you'll be gathered to it. So this is the rapture. The other was not. The other was the fan in the hand separating. The other was the ecumenical council, the toma, the coming together. This is the rapture, the true bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so be careful and very sincere as we go back to page 27, reading 129 and 30. I want you to notice, see, because you want to read this again. Don't miss this. Notice, the word says in 1 Thessalonians, three things take place before the Lord himself appears. The Lord descends with the shout, the voice of the archangel. Three things happen, a voice, a shout, a trumpet. All three of them he does when he is descending. A shout is a message going forth bringing the living word of Almighty God. You'll notice before the Lord himself appears, before Jesus the Christ appears, this takes place. Then we read on page 30, 142, see these things, we just read 141, it's happened, my dear brother, sister. When God in heaven knows I could die on this platform right now, you just ought to walk around a while. It's just tremendous. When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men and stand there, declare himself as ever he did, and that's the truth in this Bible open, see we're here. Now listen, when did that ever happen outside the time of Moses?
Right.
Never did. So therefore he tells you how God descends from the heaven. See? Through the spirit of the prophet. He is standing there. So therefore we have Elijah ministry in a prophet in the last hour, and God is moving in and through him. Now, notice, he said, when you see God, stand before groups of men. Now that's an appearance. If I see God stand before groups of men, then that's an appearance. He has appeared or I can't see him. That's all. I don't care what anybody says. I got to take what the prophet said. Now, if he's just up here kidding and being sensational like he said he wasn't and trying to trick us and be smart, like, you know, shooting off at the mouth and shooting in such a way, I'll get those guys really balled up because, you know, I'm very wonderful. And, you know, my approach is esoterical and very aesthetic, and I put little meanings on things nobody can catch. Well, who needs it? I got nothing in the Bible all the way through to give me a headache. Right in the pit of my stomach, both just all over. So what's he saying? When you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men, stand there and declare himself just as ever he did in this Bible open. I know that he's telling me in this Bible, I can find where God stood before groups of men, and how did he do it? Only by the pillar of fire and a prophet. See? All right. So we understand that's an appearance. We see somebody standing there. We see God. See? Doesn't say Lord and doesn't say Jesus. It says God. Said how God descended from the heaven to stand before groups of men. Well, how did God stand before Sarah and Abraham? In the form of a man. How did he go down? To Sodom, pillar of fire. See, all the way through you find how he did it. But not before groups of men. Pillar of fire is not visible, just to the one man. Now, you see then God come down or descend heaven. We see him stand and declare and reveal himself in a way that's been done all through the Bible. Then he says, we're here. Here where? Back to paragraph 141. He ordained these things to be. He must send this. The first thing, come when he starts descending from heaven, there's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message come forth first. Lamp trimming time. Trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh. Behold the bridegroom. Rise, trim your lamps. And they did. Some found didn't even have oil in their lamps. See? Now remember, at that time they tried to buy oil and he said it was denominations, they can't do it. So it's going on. Lamp trimming time. Luke 17. Malachi 4. All these prophecies. See, these things happen, my brethren. God knows I could die on this platform. He struck dead for telling a lie, see? Like Ananias and Sapphira. It's tremendous when you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men, and stand there and declare himself, just as ever he did. And that's the truth. And this Bible opens. Now listen, we saw God in the miracles and the signs and the wonders. But for him to declare himself takes a prophet. So when you saw the prophet, you saw God. Well, you didn't see God per se, but it was God to the people, just what Brother Branham said. Now he says, we're here. We're here at this place. See? Where is it? Matthew 25, Luke 17, Malachi 4, the rapture going on, the separated, as we saw the separation. Now, in 142 we read it. Now we go to 143. And the denominational system is dead. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. Why? Because of that. That's what you do with the husk of the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Pentecostal. Get into Christ. And if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here, but you believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God makes that thing manifested. Well, the word for your hour has got to manifest. When he pours the Spirit upon the word, what happens? Just like putting water on any other seed. It'll live, and it'll bring forth of its kind. As soon as God's Spirit touches this word here, watch it come forth. It came forth. He said, we're here. You see, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you're saved. Not by a long way. Now, in verse 100, in paragraph 142, he said, when you see. Notice what happened. See? Now he says, it's gone. It's all gone. It's all ended. Now, I want to get you something in the seal zone. Now, here it is. We must remember, the seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up with the plan of redemption, from before the foundation were, it every bit ends. It's the end. The end of the struggling world. The end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpet. End of the vials. The end of the earth. End of time. Time runs out. The Bible says so. See? Revelation 10, verses 1 to 7. Time runs out. Angel said, time no more. In the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out in this time. It's the end of the seven seals. Now, notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seal. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. Everything ends. The ushering into the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Now he tells you, this has to be the seventh seal because everything ends, and this is the thing that ends. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hate to take all this time, but I'm determined to finish this part up here because if I don't, I'm never going to get finished. Not that I care, you know, if I don't get finished, but something's got to finish sometime, or pretend you did. Now, verse 25 of Hebrews 12. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who said he ever stopped speaking? For if they escape not, he refused him when he spake on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that not speaketh, but is from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now promise, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that of those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. It said with reverence and godly fear, for our God's a consuming fire. It tells you at the end time the pillar of fire returns with a shaking ministry that shakes everything out of you that's not of God. Now, you can take and do what you want. Now, you show me the personness of God. I can show you William Branham was a God. See? Now, paragraph 143, he said, there's your bride, see? And if you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe it. Don't care what anybody else says. Then God makes that thing manifested. When he pours the Spirit upon the word, what happens? Just like pouring water in any other seed that live, and it'll bring forth of its kind. In other words, if you are the true seed of God, that little germ in there, the Spirit of God poured upon it, way that the word must be manifested this hour, you will believe it. You're going to be a part of that very thing there. All right, we'll keep reading. You see, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean you're saved, not by long ways. Looky here. You're a triune being. Inside this little fellow is a soul. Next is spirit, next is body. Now you got five senses in this body to contact your earthly home. They don't contact the rest of it. You got five senses of spirit here. Love, conscience, so forth, and that. But here is where you live. That's what you are. That's the soul, see. Didn't Jesus say the rain falls on just and unjust? Put a cockle burr out here and a weed out there and pour water on them and keep them under the fertilizer and things like that. Won't they live by the same water? Sure. But what is it? One will bear a cockle burr because he is a cockle burr, and the cockle burr will raise his hands and shout just the same as the wheat. Don't the Bible say in the last day there come false Christ, not false Jesus, now false Christ, anointed ones, false anointed the word. Denomination anointed, but not to the word. For the word will bear record of itself. It don't need nothing else. It'll bear record to itself. And there will come false anointed ones. You've got my tapes on that. That anoint. Or if you'd call one and say, oh, are you Jesus? Certainly not. They wouldn't stand for that. But when it comes to, oh, glory, I got the anointing, and it's a genuine anointing. Remember, Caiaphas had it to him prophesied, so did Balaam and prophesied. But that don't have nothing to do with the inside. Unless that's the inside, was God's seed, that's your soul, his gene from the beginning, predestinated your finish. I don't care how much you shout. Speak with tongues, run, shout. There's nothing to do with it. See? A cockle bird can count just as much as any of the rest of them. I've seen heathen raise shouts, speak in tongues, drink blood of a human skull, and call the devil. See? You don't want any of them sensations and things, forget it. It's your heart in that word, and that's Christ. Bring it in there and watch it make itself known, just as it opens up like any other seed, and declare itself for the age it's living in. Now, the trouble with people that don't understand and continue not to understand is they let their thinking get in the way. They will not take what was preached by a vindicated prophet to be the truth. They say, what about this? What about this? Never mind what about it. Listen to what's being said. Luther could not bring nothing but sprigs. That's the beginning of it, see? These others could bring other things. We're in the wheat age now. Lutherans, genuine Lutherans, had to bring forth genuine Luther. Genuine Pentecost, bring forth genuine Pentecost. That's all. But we're past that age and going on. You know the Catholic Church started out Pentecostal? And the Pentecostal Church would stand 2,000 years to worship the Catholic is. Now I say that to my brethren and my sisters whom I love, and God knows that. Remember, friends, I've got to meet you the judgment. And that may not be too long. I've got to bear record of what is the truth. Now, 151. He sets forth the difference between true and false vine. The true vine goes for the word. But when I went forth into meetings with you praying for the sick, it was fine. But when I come with the message, now listen, the message is the Lord descending with the shout before he comes into visible appearing. See? If any message goes forth, if it's a true message, if it's true, genuine miracles of God, and hangs right in that organization, you know it's not a God. Because that thing's already declared. This is the empty false anointing. See? Jesus went forth and healed the sick in order to catch the eyes of the people, then his message. That's right. It has to have something that God's going to introduce. Divine healing is miracles like that just catch the eyes of the people. The main heart of it is the message. There's what? It's what comes from in here. He's trying to get the favor of the people so they'll sit and listen to him. See? Well, how are you going to sit and listen? Can't see him. He's invisible. The appearing is when you see him up there. That is the actual visibility. You can't before then. And what's he got? He's got a prophet. See? For there's some in there that's ordained to light, and some of the grain. Wheat fell on the ground. The birds picked it up. And others fell among thorns. And some went on, you know, to bring forth as it was supposed to bring forth. Now, 152. The first thing, a shout. Then a voice, then a trumpet. Shout. A messenger getting the people ready. Now what about the fact he does all three before he appears? See, this continually throws people left and right. The same prophet that categorically said there is a difference between appearing and coming. And the people are all confused. Use the very same words interchangeably himself. Did he do it to confuse people? No, he already told them what it was all about. He told them that he was God to the people. He told them what what Malachi said. He told them exactly what was set forth in Scripture in Luke 17, Matthew 24. He went through the whole thing, and then he says right here, he said, shout, a messenger getting the people ready. And it said, Jesus does all three in descending. The first thing he does in the descent is to bring a message. Now, let me read this thing once more, and we're finished for the day. Now, I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, you like me reading it?
Amen.
You might have thought today I was trying to say this about myself because I was preaching or packing this message. I have no more to do with this message and nothing, no more than just the voice. And that's exactly what the Greek says. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and it is not said to be the shout of the one that came down.
Right.
It is not his voice at all. But it doesn't say that about the fact of the dead coming out of the ground. That is God. But this is God in the prophet. I had no one do it nothing no more than a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I want to be a trapper, not a voice at all. But it's the will of my Father I declare to do, and I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. What appeared? Pillar of fire. Did you and I see it? The people saw it because they saw the reflection. They were allowed it. But they didn't see as they saw on Moses' day. They saw the real thing. But in our day, there was that peculiar fortunate thing. As a time in Paul's day, they saw a reflection because they witnessed to something that struck the eye. Was it reflection? The same thing here. Came down before groups of men. How did he declare himself? Through a prophet. Prophet bringing a message. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things, foretells these things to prove the hour. I'm only one near when he does it. Only a voice that he used to say it. Wasn't what I knew, what I surrendered myself to, that he spoke through. It isn't me. Not the seventh messenger. No. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. Holy Spirit. So there what you can see. Here we are in the first part of the rapture. Now, the thing is this, are we into it, aren't we? Now, something is not going on. You tell me why it's not going on. If this is not separating time, he said you're feeding on the living word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said you're not feeding on the words of man. Tells you this, what the message is. If something is not going on, I want to know. Now, people are so hepped up for the great judgment. They're so hepped up to get out of here. Which they know is when the pressure is going to really hit, the hammer's going to fall. It won't be just a gong clang. The gong's going to come down with a clanging. Now that's been delayed and delayed. And the Word of God said, now look, that's going to be a fooler. The people don't realize that is held in store. It's held off. Now what isn't held off? Judgment to you and me is held off. We're going to get out of here. But the word has already come for the Lord himself. It says, descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel trump of God. And then it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. What Lord came down in order for us to meet what Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Absolutely. Ask you a question. Jesus stood at the graveside and wept. What was he? He's a man. When he said, Lazarus, come forth, what was he? God.
Amen.
And it wasn't the man that brought him forth. It was God in the man that brought him forth.
Amen.
Now, I don't look for William Branham to raise the dead. I look for the God who raised Jesus to raise William Branham and every one of the seventh church age and bring him right here to us where we will be rejoicing together for maybe 45 days or 75. I don't know how long it's going to take, and I care less. Maybe 10 days. Don't ask me. But there's some little things in the Bible there that are very peculiar. Days mentioned. I can't figure them, and I don't intend. I'm not a prophet. But I know that we are going to be right here with every issue settled amongst us as to who made it. Now you say, what about the others? Look, age number 6, I think, already knows who made it. If they don't, they will when they get back. After knowing each other, that's the time you'll face him in that appearing. And every eye is on him in the incarnation. All crowns are cast down. We crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now something is going on now, and that's where we stand different. And I stand different from most people who believe this message, study and preach it. Because I believe right now, And yet you'll find most people categories, you will say the same thing. If you miss the shout, you will miss the resurrection, you will miss the rapture. But you say, what is going on now? They know, but they don't have an answer. I'm not being smart. I'm proud about it. But I go by what the prophet said. Always looking back, always looking forward. The question is, what is going on now? The separation. Separation of unbelief. The separation of minds out of the world to where there's going to be one mind in the bride. He said that 10 people in one place ever get that one thought together to be a rapture take place. Paul himself said, be of this one mind. Peter said, I'm bringing it to your attention. That's why this word that we preach, all these sermons that Brother Branham preached, are literally a part of that message, part of that rapture. Started way back in 1933, as far as you and I are concerned, with the original appearing. This word started back with Luther in order to bring a rapture. You say, what about before Luther? They're completely coming up. There is no onus or burden upon them. That's right. What started is with Luther coming up. We're being returned. And there we are, brother, sister. Don't doubt for 1 minute. Just stay with what the prophet taught. And know for certainty that the rapture has started and the momentum is gaining. And I cannot see in the foreseeable future that there is much foreseeable future left. We're pretty well getting to get out of here. Let's rise at this time. Maybe Wednesday night we can finish it off. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for the time we are allowed to come together to look into your word that the prophet left us of indicated. Were we ever...